This is the podcast series called Make Intelligent Connections Possible. Power your clinical trials with better devices, better data, and better solutions. Hi, I'm Dan Schell, your host, and this is episode one, Better Devices. Now, anyone involved in clinical trial operations knows that there has been an exponential growth in the number of devices and vendors entering the medical data market. Additionally, these days, everyone wants devices that are more specific to the type of trial being conducted. They want devices that have advanced functionality and the capability to be used across multiple geographies. All that makes the process of optimizing your trial through devices more complicated than ever before. The fact is, there are many components to the device selection process, and each one of those components is critical and challenging, which is why you need to be competent in all of them if you're going to land on the right device for the right study. My guest today is Mike Bruins, Director, Connected Devices at IQVIA. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Dan. Great to be here.
Well, Mike, I wanted to pick your brain today a little bit about choosing the right devices to use with clinical trials. So let's start with the fact that there is a vast market of connected devices out there. Where do I even start researching?
Oh boy, what a complex question. And I'll tell you, the process for identifying, selecting, and ultimately implementing connected devices in clinical trials can be incredibly overwhelming. You know, recently the surge in demand for connected devices in clinical research has grown significantly. First, it was driven by the need for better data, more data, data from different endpoints and different modalities as technology improved. But then it got into a need to drive the patient experience and reducing the site burden, and that would drive overall increases in enrollment in clinical studies. We all know what the effects of COVID and the impact that has had on driving patients and ability to get to clinical sites globally. The net result of all that is a significant increase in the demand for using connected devices in clinical research.
I'm with all those devices out there, I'm sure it's part of your team's job to stay up to date with any features and benefits of all those different devices. How do they do that? And what are their, give me maybe top two or three elements that are most important in your search?
Okay, so first and foremost, let's talk a little bit about the search, right? So we incorporate a concept called horizon scanning, basically going out and surveying the marketplace to see what's currently out there, what technologies are useful, where the innovators are going out and innovating, and really understanding not only what's the current state of the art, but what's coming down the pipeline. And we do that through our therapeutic technical centers of excellence, our key opinion leaders, and of course, our relationships with leading device manufacturers and medical research institutes. And that really enables us to go out and identify, research, evaluate, and at the end of the day, ultimately recommend the optimal device for your unique protocol. There seems to be new devices popping up in the market almost every day, and new device manufacturers are rising all the time as well. They're coming from the big guys, the large medical device manufacturers who are continuing to be the tip of the spear in innovating and driving new technology and launching new products. But they're also coming from small vendors and startups that are coming from think tanks or institutions and universities. The point is that there's tons of new devices entering the market every day, which is great for all of us because it brings new innovation and technology, but it also brings a huge challenge because there's an enormous variability in the devices, what they measure, how they measure it, and the companies that are building and standing behind those devices.
Yeah, I can imagine that's a lot of information to take in, especially for a small pharma. So with all those devices out there, how do you go about evaluating which ones are the right ones for your trial?
Yeah. And it really starts, Dan, it really starts with an understanding of what's important. You know, taking a deep dive into the protocol and into the study team's requirements. What challenges are they facing? What are they looking for? What are they trying to get to as far as their clinical outcomes and the endpoints that they're after? So what does that do? Is it drives a holistic view into both the vendor and the device, and quite honestly, into the technology itself. You know, when we look at things like vendor evaluation or vendor assessment, there's all the standard things. There's quality, there's IT security, there's data privacy, there's legal, finance, all of those things. But what's most important is to take that deeper dive into potential connected device vendors and look at what is their core competency? What is their therapeutic experience? What is their global reach? What are their global compliance? What is their strategic direction and technology roadmap? You know, said another way, what do they want to be when they grow up? Because it's important not only to understand what they're good at today and the offering and the device and the direction they have today, but how are they going to grow with us and develop into a true partnership so that the future we can be together on just like we are today. So with that, you know, our partnerships with leading technology vendors support that as well. So it's not only the new guys and the startup companies that we need to evaluate, but we need to go into this working with the larger medical device companies as well, because they're innovating at an incredibly fast pace. And they can provide incredible market insight to not only what's coming down their roadmap, but what they see as an industry direction as well. We're not a device manufacturer, so we're relying on our vendor partners to help identify and develop these custom device solutions. And quite honestly, if you're a medical device vendor or manufacturer, you're not actually necessarily building a device for clinical research. You're building a device for commercial applications. You're going to sell a lot more medical grade patches, watches, bands, and devices to clinical establishments, to pharmaceutical establishments, or even Amazon than you will for clinical research. And quite honestly, there's a slight disparity between the concept of what makes a great device for commercial use and what makes a great device for clinical research use. So that's why we can go out and we can work with our partners and we can really help co-develop a clinical research device or modify or configure that device that really optimize the device for use in our research and your clinical trials. Let me take the example of working with a wearable biosensor, a patch that measures a vital sign, right? And these patches, they're battery operated and they're intended from a commercial aspect to measure certain vital sign characteristics, heart rate variability, skin temperature, et cetera. They're designed to measure those every 10 seconds and the battery lasts about a week. Well, that may not fit with your clinical trial. We may need data capture to be more frequent or less frequent. We may need battery life to be less or more. If you have a 14-day trial, you really would prefer to replace that patch once rather than twice or have to take it off and recharge it. So we can actually work with these manufacturers and get into the technical details to drive that balance between data upload frequency versus battery life to custom tailor that solution.
You know, earlier you mentioned the term holistic view, and it got me thinking about if I'm one of these small pharma companies, I've got a lot on my mind, right? And, you know, like you said, you guys kind of help out with that holistic view, and you explained a lot of that. But let's say I'm the director of operations, clinical operations at a small pharma. You know, I've got a lot of hats I'm wearing. I'm overwhelmed. I'm not sure what that whole holistic view is. All I know is that there are a lot of devices out there that I can choose, and that's probably the easiest part. After that, I need to figure out, you know, how I'm going to deploy those devices, get them to where they need to be. Are they regulatory compliant? So talk to me about that. Talk to me about how IQVIA connected devices can minimize my stress during this part of the process.
Right. Great point. And, you know, when we look at this, we look at it holistically, like you mentioned, and we look at it as if, you know, there's a million different factors out there that are all equally important. Quite honestly, it's not a million, but it may be 50 different things that are really critical to the success or to the failure of the study. One of the things that we're currently doing is we're helping to prioritize country-level regulatory approvals to make sure that connected devices are available in the regions around the world where we are seeing clinical research expanding. As an example, a lot of our clients are looking to run future clinical trials in the country of China. And China has very difficult regulatory approval processes and very long and difficult importation processes. So we're working with these device manufacturers to get their devices approved in China, making it easier and faster to run their clinical research in that area.
Okay, so you have this broad range of partnerships and market knowledge. What if I want to use Brand X devices in my trials? If I work with IQVIA connected devices, do I have to pick from a set list of devices that you guys offer?
Absolutely not. While we do have dozens and dozens of validated and integrated devices within our world-class portfolio, we certainly recognize that every trial is unique and there's no one-size-fits-all solution. We have medical experts that take the time to understand your unique study requirements, even supporting protocol development and protocol writing to ensure that we can match the absolute right solution to your unique trial. But if you do require a specific device that's not currently in our portfolio, absolutely we can handle that. We can work to assess the vendor, qualify and onboard them, as well as validate and integrate the device into our world-class, fully 21 CFR Part 11 compliant platform. And because our platform was designed from the ground up to be device agnostic, it's capable of rapidly ingesting new device technologies from a variety of data streams. If the device has a cloud-based API, direct the device via USB or Bluetooth, incorporates an SDK, no matter what it is, we have the capability to rapidly and effectively, with the highest level of quality and compliance, integrate that device into our platform so it can be used in your trial.
So you can really create fit-for-purpose device solutions.
Yeah, absolutely. And it really boils down to understanding what the study requirements are and finding that optimum solution. You know, again, every study is unique and it's also full of challenges. Technology is improving almost every single day. So is the ability to measure new endpoints. This opens the door to tons and tons of different and unique device solutions, either available today or emerging in the market. You know, it really boils down to, are you asking the right questions in order to optimize the answer and optimize the solution, as well as mitigate the risk? You know, when you look at things like wearable biosensors, the world of watches and patches and bands, that's really, really taken off over the past few years. And there's dozens and dozens of devices by numerous manufacturers out there on the marketplace. Well, when you want to use one of those wearable biosensors, are you asking the right questions? Right? Do you need point-in-time data or continuous data? Do you need raw or derived data? If you're using derived data, are the algorithms used for that validated for the specific endpoints? Alternately, what countries are you running the trial in? Where's the data cloud located? Is it in Europe? Is it GDPR compliant? And then there's simpler questions. Things as simple as, is the device waterproof? Can your patient go swimming? Can they take a shower? Is it shockproof? How do you recharge it? You know, does it work equally well for different patient demographics, whether it's their age, their weight, their skin color, activity level? Will it work on a patient that is a marathon runner, as well as an obese patient who's sedentary their entire life? These are really critical questions, and they're almost limitless. So when you look at that, of course, you're not asking all these questions, but we are. And that's the value that a connected device service provider offers to your study and to your trial. We've thought of these questions, we're asking these questions, and more importantly, we know the answers to these questions and have custom tailored solutions that can ensure that your trial runs effectively and remains on time and on budget and provides you with the results and ultimately the data you need for your outcomes.
Okay, let's talk about the next step then, because if I'm a small pharma, clinical operations person, I'm wearing a lot of different hats. I'm overwhelmed. I've chosen the devices. That's the easy part. But now I need to figure out how I'm going to deploy those devices. How are they going to get where they need to be? Like you talked about being regulatory compliant. I need to know that. Talk to me about those details of how IQVIA connected devices can minimize my stress during this part of the process, because I'm sure that that's a big concern for your clients.
Yeah, absolutely. And another great question, Dan. Probably the most overlooked and underappreciated aspect of running a clinical trial is logistics. I can't tell you how many times I've heard feedback that logistics have either prevented study startup timelines or created site burden by delaying patient visits. It's incredibly complicated. There's a reason why there are regulatory organizations throughout the world who are looking into the details of how to move product from point A to point B. And in certain countries, it can take a significant amount of time. There's a lot of countries like Argentina, Brazil, China, Japan that require import licenses, importers of record, and quite honestly, can take 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks. And that's just in customs clearance alone, outside of the control of any of us. If you combine that where certain devices and certain supplies have expiration dates associated with them, and not expiration dates in years, but expiration dates in months, And then the third piece, which is variability enrollment, some sites are enrolling faster, some sites are enrolling slower, then you can see the problem and the risk that can come up due to improper logistics.
So what do you do about those logistic risks? How do they mitigate the risks?
Well, the first thing is regulatory knowledge. Having a world-class regulatory intelligence database led by dedicated engineers and regulatory experts all over the globe with boots on the ground in the countries in question to be able to know not only how to dot every I and cross every T with regard to the process for import, export, and customs law, but also have their finger on the pulse for what's coming down in the future. Global regulations change almost every 15 minutes, it seems, in certain parts of the world. The process for importing a device, a medical device, into China, for instance, has changed three times in the past 2 years. We really need people who are experts in that field, in country, and are dedicated resources to not only knowing what to do today, but also knowing what to do tomorrow. And then the second piece, outside of regulatory expertise, is really looking at things from an end-to-end logistics services. And these include in-country hubs. You know, when you have a 3 to 4 or 5 week process to get a medical device into Japan, if you have an inventory hub in Japan, you can deploy rapidly. So that 3 weeks becomes 3 days because you just need to put it on a truck and move it down the street rather than let it sit in customs for almost a month. So above and beyond just in-country warehouses, logistics services go far beyond that. We're talking things like configuration management, configuring devices, serializing devices, tracking expiration dates, maintenance and service, calibration. When devices come back off trial, are they refurbished? Are they cleaned? Something that's incredibly important in today's world with COVID. And then how are they put back on the shelf and provisioned again for the next trial in the shortest period of time with the most effective process? And again, all of these things get wrapped up into an overall end-to-end logistics services that not only significantly mitigate risk, but also significantly reduce lead times and reduce the time it takes to get trials up and running, get sites going, and get patients in the door to support your outcomes.
I definitely can see how those inventory hubs would help out in getting everything there faster and being able to deploy things on a much more rapid pace. Talk to me about once everything gets to the site. You just described a whole bunch of different things that are going to happen prior to that and even after that. But tell me a little bit about that. What happens when everything gets there?
So our solutions are both site and patient centric for faster deployment into your study. For example, in multimodality studies where you could have multiple different devices supporting the same trial, for instance, you'd have an ECG and a spirometer both going to a site, as well as you might have a computing device, a tablet, a phone, or a laptop even. Our logistics services can provide kitting and site-based or even patient-based configuration so that when the site or patient get it, they open up the box, they have a configured tablet that's ready to go, they have the devices are configured and ready to go, and then they just open the box, take everything out, and can start their measurements right away or start their procedures right away. At the end of the day, it just makes life a lot easier for those clinical staff and for the patients. Okay? Our objective is to break down those roadblocks to trial disruption and to reduce the site and patient burden. We've shipped over 100,000 medical-grade devices to over 60,000 sites in over 100 countries, all with greater than 98 or 99% on-time delivery.
You talked about all the different types of services, everything from kitting to connectivity. Which of those services do your clients find the most valuable? Does anyone ever say, wow, I never would have been able to do all of this or this specific task without your help?
Yeah, actually, like I mentioned earlier, Dan, the biggest gotcha tends to come from not thinking of all the different things that could go wrong and all the things that are important. It's not about the one piece that typically fails, because that would be solved, right? The industry would have resolved that issue. The real value comes in a deep understanding of all the different components, all the different pieces of the puzzle, knowing that if you miss just one, you can put that trial at risk. So taking a step back and taking a holistic approach to it and putting in the people and the process and, quite honestly, the experience to be able to ask all the questions and think of all the things that could go wrong are really what gets us to where we are today, which is having that dedicated team to ensure that we can provide an optimum, custom tailored or even bespoke connected devices solution for your trial.
Perfect. Perfect. We've covered a lot today in this podcast. So Mike, I want to thank you for being our guest today on the first episode of Make Intelligent Connections Possible, Power Your Clinical Trials with Better Devices, Better Data, and Better Solutions. Stay tuned for our next episode on Better Data.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about this and other topics facing healthcare ecosystems around the world, visit IQVIA.com.